Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Spiritual Excellence, a study of practical discipleship. In this session, we'll be looking at Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Excellence begins in the mind. I wonder how many Christians are content to simply scratch in the dirt when they could soar like the eagles. Excellence is not easy, but can be achieved. You know the Marine Corps recruitment ad? The few, the proud, the Marines? Isaac Disraeli said in 1834, "It is a wretched taste to be gratified with mediocrity when the excellent lies before us." Confronting mediocrity means thinking clearly. A garden can be cultivated or left to run wild. Your mind is like that as well. Proverbs 23:7, "As he thinks in his heart, so he is." The way you think affects your entire life. Actions, good or bad, blossom from thoughts germinating in your mind. Spiritual warfare takes place in the mind. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we did not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." The wiles of the devil, it says. He plays head games. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices." We are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And 4, and then verse 6. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This is the key text. Now let's go back to the garden of your mind. God's word is like seed, genetically coded to produce Christ-likeness. How those seeds were created is how they grow. Plant seeds of God's word, water them, and they will grow firm roots. Tend to them, and they will be strong. Why? Because that is the power of the word of God. Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11, tell us, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Thoughts can run around wild in our mind. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 is so important. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me ask you, what does your garden look like? The garden of your mind. Is it a harvest of spiritual fruit? Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, identify that fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If this fruit is not evidenced, then the Spirit is not in control. And it's more likely that your life, your mind, is a weed patch overrun with pride. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Are your deeds revealing fruit or weeds? What's the motivation to tend your mind's garden? Well, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6 tells us, now let me sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a winepress in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds, that they rain no rain on it. And then John 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. It's the same for the new believer and the growing believer. A new believer has the whole farm to tend. The growing believer needs to break ground for new growth. Here are two pictures of contrasting gardens in Scripture. The one growing wild, Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34, which reads, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. So there's the one growing wild. Then there's also the one that's well tended. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgments, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So, how do you move from the place of spiritual mediocrity through growth to spiritual excellence? Well, it begins with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In time, you will experience a rich spiritual harvest. Entering the promised land meant engaging the enemy. Joshua encountered strongholds, and Christians also face strongholds. What are strongholds? Well, return back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Strongholds are mindsets. Argument is false reasoning, and high things are barriers. How are these conquered? By bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Begin your transformation as David did. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and verse 24, when he cried out and prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." As we begin this study of spiritual excellence, you give some thought to these things, and you have a great day.